So we're going to go back to Ephesians tonight. So if you grab your Bible and go to Ephesians, that'll be awesome. And anytime we stop and go into these very difficult and hard topics, we do our best to lay out these disclaimers and to do our best to say we're painting with a broad brush and there's always exceptions and we're not trying to create hard and fast rules. And we were talking this morning and we're going to continue tonight about the use of medications and the use of outside agencies for these issues. By the way, how's Eugene? Okay, still waiting. Okay. So I wanted to pause right now and ask, is there anyone that has a question with regard to the disclaimer? Now, not a comment. Oftentimes people have comments they want to add to the discussion in the guise of a question, but I'm not looking for a group session right now. Is there anyone that has a question with regard to the use of medication or the use of outside agencies outside of the church in regard to anything I said this morning? I feel like I wasn't sure I was clear on what you were communicating. A question, not a comment. Everyone has a comment. Okay, I take that as a no. So we want to emphasize one more time that there may be times when medications are helpful. Okay? We don't want to create a scenario where people think absolutely not on medication. We want to emphasize one more time that there may be times when medication is appropriate. But we want to recognize that we still may have a sin issue. Or we still may have an issue that we need to deal with when the contents of that, and so we want to deal with both. And so we pray that we're setting the conditions in the body of Christ that there is someone that you feel close enough to in the body of Christ that you could be honest and transparent and say, I am taking this medication. And I want you to know about it. I want you to pray with me about it. And if you see something about this, I want you to be able to speak into my life about this. Because we know that once we go down the road of medication, there is a potential for abuse. Right? There's a potential. We would want it to be regulated. We would want it to be controlled. We want it to be careful and all those things. And let's think about it. All doctors may not have your best interest at heart. Right. Or they may not be trying to get to the root cause. They're going to treat symptoms. But the root cause may not be being dealt with. So it could be that you need a Christian partner to come along who's going to help you get to the root cause as you deal with the medication. All right, let's talk about the other scenario. We said this morning that we're not trying to bash outside organizations that are meeting needs. Okay, that's not our objective. We recognize there are therapists and counselors that are doing an amazing work in supplementing what isn't happening in the church. So the objective was not to bash therapists or counselors and all that. But I also wanted to be careful and remind you that all therapists are not equal. And they may not be coming to you with an appropriate mindset or biblical worldview or perspective. And so you're going to take what you're receiving from them and you're going to filter it through what? Yeah, the Bible. The Word of God. You have to do that. It may be that your issue is very pragmatic, very pragmatic. You know, stop spending so much money. And the guy doesn't have to be a Christian counselor to tell you that. He needs to look at it and go, all right, your finances are way upside down. It's bringing stress into your life, and you got to get this under control. And it doesn't have to be a preacher to say that to you. You're going to, this, I need to fix this. So in that case, it could be that's very helpful. All right, let's look to Ephesians now. Ephesians 4. So we really didn't get into verse 16, and we didn't get into group therapy, and I really think there was a legitimate thing that I want to talk about there. And so that's our objective tonight. Then we'll go back to 1 Peter next week. Let's just read 7 through 16 again, trying our very best to understand all that is being communicated in this difficult text. And according to those that know Greek, they say that even in the Greek, it's very difficult, that this is hard stuff. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto all men, men and women, all humans, all believers. Now that he ascended, what is it that but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So the first thing we see, we're going to set aside that part about ascending and descending. We looked at that last week. We want to draw to your attention, every single believer in the body of Christ has been given spiritual gifts. Then we have in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturation of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Last week we took the dry erase board and we packed it full of the work of the ministry. I want to draw to your attention for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Now, the word perfect there is not like perfect in holiness. It's mature. Amen. A mature man. A mature man measured against, notice now, the stature of the fullness of Christ. See it? How do I know what a mature man looks like? Use Christ. Use Christ. There's your model, Christ. Just use Christ. Okay? This is Christ. All right? All right. So the objective now is to mature the body of Christ individually towards Christ. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine and the sleight of men, and the cunning of craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, children by nature are very what? Immature. I want you to remember that as we get into a discussion in a few minutes. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. Who's the him? Christ in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So the head. So we have a head. Now he turns around and says, let's take that head analogy and go into verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of oneself in love. Father, help us. Help us as a church, the church within the church, those that are in leadership positions and teaching positions and ministry positions. And Father, give us a time of real reflection and introspection in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to remind ourselves, truth is anything that isn't false. Truth cannot be contrary to the Word of God. Truth needs to be Christ-centered and should focus on the gospel. And we want to say no personal preferences. No personal preferences. So we're not going to take our personal preferences and start speaking them into your life. Okay, that's not what we go around like the police and speaking our preferences in. For example, let's just take the KJV issue. Okay? The KJV issue, KJV only issue. Hey, that's very divisive in churches. Okay, people come in with their own personal preferences and they want to speak into your life about that, and they feel like they have this agenda to go around setting everyone straight. Okay, the problem with that whole idea is you can't find a single Bible verse to back you up. Right? Well, the Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek, and you're talking about an English Bible, so you're going to have a really hard time finding a Bible verse to support your English translation perspective. Right? I mean, there's no... So what when we... Truth, we're speaking that which isn't false. We're speaking Bible, and we want to focus on Christ, and we want to focus on the gospel. Like this. Like this very situation. This is a simple verse. I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Very simple. It's a real simple idea. Here's the gospel. Here's the gospel. And the gospel, Christ saves them and gives them a righteousness that comes from Christ and Christ alone. And yet Peter was trying to put them back under legalism. Sometimes, when the Jews were around. When the Jews weren't around, then he was all about grace. And Paul said, it's got to stop. It's got to stop. This is no way. Peter, you can't do that. Because of Paul's perspective? Because of a rule? No. Because of the what? The truth of the gospel. The gospel has application. So we said this morning that unforgiveness issue, we could see it in a marriage issue situation. There are just lots of places where the gospel speaks to how we need to be behaving. And so when I decide I'm going to use the gifting that I have to speak into your life, we're going to the gospel. We're not going to just go, Everett, you got a problem and you need to fix it. That's not going to go over very well. Okay, that's simply not going to go over well. But if I can run to Jesus and his gospel and then try to show you how your husband-wife relationship is not looking like the gospel, then perhaps I have a chance. Perhaps I have a chance. Must be spoken in love. We said this morning, gracious, gentle, careful words, tone, and attitude. So what I found as I looked at this five times in love is used in this text. According as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame in him, before him in love. How about this one? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. So we're speaking truth in love. We are rooted and grounded in love. How about Ephesians 4:2? With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Suddenly we realize that we're just supposed to be doing everything in love. Yes, yes. Walking in love, speaking in love, rooted in love, grounded in love, forbearing in love. I mean, we are just supposed to be so wrapped up in doing things in love that it's not difficult for us to speak truth in love. We do everything in love. Or how about this one? Walk in love. Walk in love. And walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. And this morning we looked at Jesus, an example of grace and truth from John 5, so we won't do it again. So now I want to use the dry erase board tonight, and I want to ask you, I want to hear from you, why is it then? Why is it that in spite of what the Word of God says, in spite of the fact that we know that we're supposed to be speaking truth into each other's life, how have we got a billion-dollar counseling industry? What are some of the reasons why this happens in spite of the fact that the church is commanded to minister to each other, build each other up, speak into each other's lives? I want to hear from you guys. Why do you think this happens? What'd you say? Okay, I need you to unpack that a little bit, Doug.
Perception is that if I go to a concert, they're going to know more than you.
Okay. Okay, perception of expertise. I heard another one. I thought someone over there said one. Okay. Absolutely. Wow. Fear of judgment. Is there an E in there or not? I always forget that. Yes or no on the E? Teresa, what is it? You're exactly right. I want to stay on this one and then I'll get into number three. Come on, James, if I open up to you and tell you I'm struggling with an anger issue, will you still respect me? Maybe you won't think of me as highly. So you know what I do? I got to go find a counselor, Bill, that won't know anything about.
Right. I don't think it's all that.
What is it then?
I think it's more.
It's gone now, brother. You got to hold on to it.
It's not that I don't. I'm embarrassed to tell. I don't think you know that I have a problem. So why should I bring it up to you to let it out of the box?
Right. Yeah, and she said that's a fear of being judged by me. A fear of what?
Gossip.
Yeah, that's a big issue. Gossip. Right. Because how can I trust you? How can I trust you that you're not going to put it on Facebook? Number four, Adam.
Hatred of accountability.
Hatred of accountability. So you're saying if I go to my therapist and I go to my therapist and counselor twice a month, he's not going to text me. He's not going to speak into my life on Sundays. I mean, he'll see me in my next appointment, but if you come to me and you say, I got this problem, then I'm going to really begin to say, well, we got to get this fixed. And okay.
Yeah, it's compartmentalized.
Compartmentalized, right. Yeah. So, lack of trust. I saw one over here. So the Bible might not be sufficient for all things pertaining to life and godliness.
Emperor's New Clothes.
What?
The Emperor's New Clothes methodology. If you want to hear something that's going to tailor what you want to hear, you won't tell them the whole truth. You won't tell them everything. They're going to give you advice on what you think you want.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Might not want to hear the truth. Anyone else? I'd like to hear from a teenager. Lauren.
They don't want an objective view outside of someone that like knows about their life, like someone in the church or a friend.
Wait, wait, no. Objective view, okay?
Unbiased.
Unbiased, okay. Anyone else?
They want an educated view.
They want an educated view. That's excellent. What's that? Privacy, right? Privacy, isn't that the privacy issue? Anyone else? Anyone else at all? The reasons why this is happening. Yep.
Lack of transparency and the people who be doing the counseling might not think that they can relate to the work you have.
Mm-hmm.
You can't relate to what I'm going through, so why should I talk to you about it? You've never been through this. You know, lack of transparency because we all have stuff.
So that's why they go to the outside organization? Anyone else? Why isn't this happening? Why are people going out here? Anybody else? Don.
I think a lot of it has to do with ownership and accountability. If I go to somebody that I know, like a pastor or like my brother Christ, I have to take ownership of that sin, and then I know they're going to hold me accountable.
And that's what Adam said, right? A hatred for accountability, a lack of willingness to be owned it.
Right.
Ashley. Oh, John. So failure. Golly.
Validation.
John, can you summarize that, please?
Victim mentality.
Okay, victim mentality. So I want to go to somebody who will tell me that you are, this is a result of this and won't necessarily. All right, Adam?
Maybe two would be hypocrisy, and then maybe also as a separate one, lack of relationships inside of the church. Lack
okay.
of love within the context of the body.
Lack of love in the body. Okay. Is there a reason pride hasn't made it up here on the list yet? Bill? Oh, did they? Pride? I mean, isn't that a big reason? I can't let you know that I've got an issue.
But that's in fear of judgment.
Fear of judgment? Okay. So it's up here in fear of judgment? Okay. Anything else? Okay. Failure to believe the gospel is powerful or sufficient enough. It's almost like the word of God part. Lack of faith in the gospel. Ah, right. Time and convenience. Very good. An outside counselor won't recognize your issue as sin, unless, of course, it's a true biblical counselor, hopefully. Right. Okay. Very good. Anyone else? Right. That's true. Right? And don't think that I'm trying to hire a counselor and get this idea. That's not what we're talking about tonight. Okay? That's I think that would be completely missing the point of the text. The point of the text is that Dennis has a spiritual gift from God. Dennis does. And he may be able to use that spiritual gift from God to speak truth into your life. Yes, sir. And if they were going to Bill, they should be scared of that. That's right. That's exactly right. Yep.
They might feel like the pastor might have seen since they have potential or whatever, that they'll be able to give them answers rather than just comfort.
Okay, the credentialed person has the answers. They're the expert. Liz. Right. Yep.
Sometimes when you go to talk to the pastor too, and then it's preached on in a sermon, you're left with a doubt. Did it come from the pulpit because of the counseling session?
Right.
Right,
and be sure everybody understands, I'm not advocating that you start calling me for counseling. Okay, that is not the point of this message, okay? I'm a terrible counselor, okay? I am the worst. I'm like that guy that just says, fix the problem and it'll take care of itself. Okay? So I'm preaching to myself with this speaking truth in love. Bonnie. One more time. It's big time work to... be easier to take a pill. Okay? Aaron. Who? You know, I want to make sure we all understand what this text is saying. God is supernaturally working in his body through Christ to bring to people gifts to provide the expertise. Okay, I may not have the PhD, but I have the indwelling HS. Okay, that's the idea, that the Holy Spirit is capable of knowing the situation. Now, this is belief in the supernatural. Please understand that. This is supernatural idea. This is not pragmatic. This is the idea that I believe that by seeing a spirit-filled, spirit-guided brother or sister in Christ who has a gifting from the Lord for this situation, that God will give them the wisdom that I need for this situation. This requires faith.
Yes.
Of course, we shouldn't be surprised that this requires faith. The just shall live by faith. Faith. Lester. Find a loophole. Okay. Yeah, how about that?
You don't want to burden a pastor or something.
Right.
Like you pay somebody, it's not, you're not paying them.
Right, because you're paying them.
Right.
Right. How have some churches tried to fix this problem? They make the preacher a counselor and they hire counselors to be on staff. And many large churches have a counselor on staff. Now, while we say, I don't have a big issue with that per se, please understand that what that seems to suggest is, if you need to have someone speak truth in your life, go see him. Go see her. And so instead of the body of Christ ministering one to another, who does all the ministry? The counselor. Go see the counselor. Get on the counselor's schedule. Wait a minute. But that's not what the text is teaching us. The text is not saying set up an office, give him a schedule, and let him see everybody. The text is saying that each of us are fitly woven together, jointly compacted, brought here sovereignly by Christ, and Christ the head is giving to his church gifts, spiritual gifts that can be used to minister to each other. It's almost Pentecostal. It's probably one of the reasons why we've struggled as Baptist churches with this idea. Because it sounds like the Holy Spirit's doing supernatural stuff in his church.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. And like my jokes, it falls flat, okay? Is this a reaction? Oh, I'm going to pray that the Lord will give me just the right words to speak into your life. I'm going to pray that God would do that, right? But I'm not going to set myself up as a counselor and create a schedule and all day long be counseling people. I'm going to try to do what the text says, which I think the text says that he gave us in verse 11, apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I'm going to try to create the conditions whereby the body of Christ ministers to the body of Christ. So that we don't create this idea that if I need counsel, I go see the preacher. If I need counsel, I go see the therapist. If I need counsel, I go see the psychologist. That I pack myself into the body of Christ, and I believe that there are enough people in the body of Christ that can speak truth into my life, and that I can hear from God through the spiritual gifts that he's given, and I will be sensitive to that and be obedient to what the Lord speaks into my life. So instead of praying, God, send me to, as I Google, the right counselor, I'm going to pray that God would help me to be obedient to the truth that's spoken into my life through the people that he has sovereignly brought into the body of Christ. Yes. And I may be one of those ministers, one of them, but not the chief one or the primary one. Because again, what is the primary occupation of the pastor teacher? It is to preach the word. To do what? To equip the saints for the what? The work of the ministry. And this is the work of the ministry. That's right, sister. This is the work of the ministry. So is this in reaction to an inability to make Ephesians chapter 4 work? And I think this is exactly what it is. It's a lot easier to set up an office and say counselor and you go see him for hire than it is to try to get the entire body of Christ speaking truth into each other's lives. Or the reason I'm saying this is most churches, as a general rule, have reduced themselves to one worship service a week. As a general rule, one worship service a week. So if you connect one worship service a week, how in the world will we ever speak truth into each other's lives? It's like just going to the movie theater. I mean, you go watch a movie, you're not going to, well, I just want to draw to your attention that you've been ridiculous with your wife during the time. Mind your own business, buddy. I'm here to watch a movie. Now, while you may think I'm ridiculous, how many churches are projecting the preacher on the screen? He's not even a human being anymore in front of you talking like I am. He's a guy on the screen. Mark Driscoll, a very, very famous pastor, pastoring 14,000 people, 16 different campuses on 5 different states. Hello? You think that's anything like what's being described in Ephesians chapter 4, where the body of Christ is fitly compacted together and everyone's ministering one to another? So verse 16 describes how the church is supposed to function. Now this is a tough verse. I want to show it to you in multiple translations. Let's get started. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Here's the Holman. From him the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Here's the NASB. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the body, the growth of the body, for the building up of itself in love. So Paul uses the human body as the example of how the body of Christ is supposed to function. The church is supposed to be like a healthy body held together by joints and ligaments, where each part contributes to the functioning of the other part well. There's a ligament. That's a ligament. And anyone that's had a torn ACL knows how important something like that is. That'll just wreck your ability to do this or this. Or however many other places are there ligaments. So what Paul is saying is that the body of Christ is joined together by these things called ligaments, where Christ is the head and these named ministers, apostles, teachers, prophets are working and with and in the lives of the believer so that every one of us is connected one to another. It's almost like when we do the Lord's Supper and we stand in the middle and we hold hands. What we're physically representing is the interconnection from each and every one of us. Right. Moving back and forth. And what Paul is saying is that you matter. You have a ministry here. God has given to you spiritual gifts to be used here for the betterment of the body of Christ. It's not just come and sit on a pew. I think sometimes maybe the church gets the impression on Sunday morning that all Pastor Sean's trying to do is increase the attendance to the Sunday night service. When in reality, it has nothing to do with the Sunday night service. It has to do with getting the body of Christ connected so that the body of Christ can minister one to another and we can meet each other's needs. But we're not going to do that when you don't even know the name of the person in front of you or to the left of you or to the right of you. And so if you don't know their names and you come into church and the person's sitting on the pew weeping, you know what you do? You run away. Because you don't want to get into that mess. Because you feel like, I'm not trained. I'm not gifted. I wouldn't know what to say. And this is what you're discounting. The supernatural ability of the head of the church to give you through the Holy Spirit just the right words to speak.
Right.
So let me be clear. It's a lack of faith.
Yep.
It's a lack of faith. You're going, I'm not qualified. I haven't been taught. I don't have a degree. I'm not credentialed. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a therapist. So there's no way I could speak into that situation. Right? So you know what we do? We go to the person that we know. And we avoid the person that's crying, that's down, because we are scared to death that we won't know what to say. That's very sad.
I've been reading this book called Jim Simpson Bella on the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And it's his point. You know, it's being filled with the Holy Spirit and having faith. So we'll be able to deal with homosexuals and trans people and all that. I think that's the problem we have to be in the church.
I mean, we know that the Lord Jesus told us that he's going to send the Comforter and that he would guide us in all truth. So we have to live in dependence of the Holy Spirit. I need to move because I want to get to one more part. So we just keep wanting to say one corporate worship service a week is not enough. All right, let's talk about what happens in group therapy for just a minute and then we'll wrap it up. Now we've all identified that there are lots of these group therapy organizations. Give me one of them. AA, right. And are people helped in these organizations? Yeah. People, sometimes. Okay, sometimes. Fair. Sometimes. But I would say as a general rule that some people receive help. And you get people together and they're all struggling with a similar thing and they speak into each other's what? Lives. They speak from perspective of experience. They speak from, you know, they have these support groups, right? Everyone has a child with a learning disability. So those people get together on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, and they speak into each other's lives. And they receive from that group session therapy. And I am not bashing that. So don't anyone think for a moment I'm bashing that. I'm using this as an example to see about verse 16. So in the group, are they edifying each other? They're building each other up, aren't they? And this says that the body of Christ will edify itself in love. So God's plan for believers overcoming sin and maturing in the faith is spirit-filled and spirit-empowered group therapy. Now the vehicle that we use for this group therapy is the study of the Word of God. Now here's what I want to say. Sometimes this becomes an obstacle. Now what in the world do you mean by that? I want to illustrate that. In the body of Christ, each person in a seat below has been given grace, spiritual gifts, for the edification of the group. Thus, small group assemblies in the body of Christ truly have potential for being supernatural therapy sessions. What is the difference between the support group for children of learning disabilities and a small group in the body of Christ? What's the difference between the two? Because if we're not careful, we're going to think that they're the same, but they're radically different. Exactly. This group has every single person assembled, supposedly, 9 out of 10, born again, indwelled with the Holy Spirit, given supernatural gifts from God. So they're sitting there, studying the Word of God, spending time together, and each of them have been given gifts from God, and is the Holy Spirit there?
Yes.
Now, this is what I meant. It is so important that the group leader be sensitive to the reality that God may use more than the leader to speak truth in love into a person's life. And at times, the lesson may have to wait. Now, here's why it's an obstacle. If you're David McManus back there, and you have the Carolina Christians, and you've spent 12 hours, 8 hours preparing your lesson, you know what you want to do? You want to teach it. Right? Okay. Right? So it could be that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is going to bring an issue up, but my drive to get through the lesson keeps us from dealing with it. Smothers it. Because you know what? I got 15 more slides to get through. I got to get my lesson done. I've got 5 more verses to get through, Adam. I've got 5 more verses to get through. And I don't have time to get distracted by this because I got 5 more verses to get through. That's why I wanted to come back and deal with this tonight, because I know in this room we have lots of leaders. And it could be that the leader of the group needs to pause and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And say, this could be an issue here where God is bringing something up and we need to deal with it right then and there. And the Lord didn't tell you on Tuesday when you were doing sermon prep. The Lord didn't show you on Thursday when you were building slides. The Holy Spirit waited until just that moment. And every single teacher in this room, leader, anything, anybody who is a mentor, anyone who gets people together at Berean needs to recognize that this time could be group therapy. Yeah. Jeff Woosley's class, someone could come in there. And I mean, they are hurting. I mean, they are hurting. And Jeff, the lesson's just got to be put on hold. Because crisis has come into their life. Crisis. And it's not on Facebook. You didn't know about it ahead of time. And it just came in right then and there. And it's time for the body of Christ at that given moment to minister to that person or family through loving, Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided believers speaking truth into their lives. And you, as the group moderator, teacher, whatever word you want to use, are going to carefully, hopefully being led by the Holy Spirit, allow that work to happen. And you're gonna set the lesson on side. And you're just gonna tell yourself, we're not gonna get through this, but I believe that this is a divine appointment. And I didn't know about this. I'm not gonna get irritated because I'm not getting through my lesson. I'm gonna recognize that this is an opportunity to minister. Next, members in the group must be willing to bear each other's burdens and be vulnerable and transparent with one another. Vulnerable and transparent. So you must create in your small group, you have one on Wednesday night, Joey, you must create a scenario whereby brothers and sisters in Christ so love each other that they trust each other. Now, let me give you worst case scenario. No, not worst case scenario, a tough scenario. We would want, as best we could, David, to create such a close and intimate small groups that a brother or sister in Christ could say to the small group, I'm struggling with, and then pick something really hard. Like same-sex attraction. And no, at that moment, nobody's going to blow them out of the water. Because nothing will be done that isn't done in love. And that by the grace of God, every single believer in that room realizes, were it not for the grace of God, I could be struggling with the exact same thing.
Amen.
So I will not be judgmental. I will not be arrogant. We will not be prideful. We will not be self-righteous. We will carefully and gently pray that the Holy Spirit falls down into the room and brings gifts to minister to that person. Imagine that kind of a church. Imagine that kind of a small group. Could anyone say that that's God glorifying? Would that not be supernatural? If you saw the Holy Spirit fall down into the room and you were like, words were being spoken that were just unbelievable, fitly spoken, carefully chosen, no judgment, just brothers and sisters in Christ, carefully, graciously, tenderly, wisely, lovingly speaking truth. Would that not be awesome? Let me just tell you right now. I promise you, Sunday school teacher, small group leader, ladies ministry leader, I promise you, if you will let that happen and get in touch with the Holy Spirit, you will feel like I met with God today. You'll feel like the Lord was here. God showed up. It was amazing. Brother Don Adams, I don't think I'll ever forget the revival we had down at Camp Anchorage. That when God shows up, when the Holy Spirit pours out gifts, when transparency happens, when vulnerability occurs, you are so validated in your faith of the supernatural working of God. And I'm afraid sometimes we're so driven to teach a lesson, so driven to get through verses, so driven to work through that we literally grieve the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Our motives are pure. We want to teach the Word of God. And should we do that? Absolutely. Am I suggesting for a moment we don't do that? No, 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 of course not. I'm just trying to say that Paul is saying, get in touch with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Recognize that Christ is in charge of the church, and through these ministers, he gives us gifts. Finally, every minister, every member of the group must recognize that God may be directing them to speak truth according to the grace given to them. And you say, I never say anything. That's a problem. That's a problem. Because according to this text, every one of us is given gifts. And every member of the body of Christ is supposed to contribute. Group leaders all over the church, it is imperative that you teach the group that one person cannot dominate the group. Because he or she will shut everyone down. The big mouth. that always has something to say, never shuts up. You know what I'm talking about. You've been in small groups before. Quick to speak. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about graciously, carefully, wise, gentle words, measured, pausing to hear from the Holy Spirit, waiting on the Lord to show up and deliver the right words. And everyone slowing down. So here's my final question, and we're done. Where could this spiritual group therapy happen in Berean? I mean, it's not going to happen at the 10:45 service. It's not going to happen there. So where could this spiritual group therapy occur? We said one location. It could happen at 9:30, but it depends on the class. Some classes are clearly too big for this. That doesn't mean we get rid of big classes. It means that we look for other alternatives. Right. Some classes are smaller. I think Jeff Woosley's class is a great size. I think Nate, I think your class is a great size. I think Jack, your class could be there almost if you're very sensitive and you work a close in getting together, backyard barbecues, intercommunication, praying for one another, lifting each other up. But let's say that in your Sunday school class, people don't even know each other's names. Because I promise you, if you go to a therapy class for parents with learning disabilities, I promise you, every single person in that group knows each other's names. Yeah. They know their first name. They know their last name. They know their children's names. And I dare say, some of our small groups couldn't even say everyone's name in the class. Now, how in the world are we ever as a church going to get to the point where we're speaking love into each other's lives if I don't even know your name, Jeff? So I'm giving to every Sunday school teacher a bigger vision. A bigger vision. All right, where else besides Sunday school? Yeah, I agree with you, Kaylee. Kaylee said if we do things in homes, we will, in fact, have more time. And I could not agree with you anymore. Where else could we do it besides that? How about Wednesday nights? Could you do that, Joey? Could you focus on creating that on Wednesday nights? How about Tuesday morning Bible studies? Who's leading? Is there someone presently leading a Tuesday morning Bible study? Who is? Mary. Do you think you could grab this vision a little bit, sister, and pray that the Holy Spirit would guide you so that the ladies in that class could minister one to each other even more? Spirit-filled, Spirit-guided ministry. Backyard barbecues. You go there with the intent of grilling burgers. The burgers are over with. The children are over there playing. And four adults are sitting together, and suddenly you realize somebody came here with a significant burden. Now you've got two options: run away with a passion because you're scared to death, or have faith that the Holy Spirit has brought by his sovereign will the right people here with the right spiritual gifts to minister to that person. Those are your two options. What about here? What about here? Why don't we think about the ladies' retreat? Now let's think about the ladies' retreat in the context of God sovereignly ordaining who will attend. Who will attend? Does God know who's going to be there? Already? In spite of the fact that we haven't registered. Because most of you haven't. But he knows in his sovereign will who will, at the last minute, the procrastinators register. So do we think there's a possibility that God will bring everyone necessary with the right gifts to minister to each other down in Anchorage? And that the 50 or 60 or 75 ladies that have all been brought there will come with gifts, luggage and gifts. And the gifts will come from Christ. The luggage will come from the house. Yes, sister. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We talked about nursery this morning. We talked about other opportunities. Vacation Bible school. Brian, when's Vacation Bible school?
June 16th to
19th. All right, June 16th to 19th. There's windows of time in which you're working, and then there's other windows of time in which you're standing around waiting for your next schedule. Could that not be God bringing the right people together to minister to each other? Tuesday night singles.
Awana,
right. Awana, game times, in between game times. But none of this will happen if we don't get in touch with the Holy Spirit. We got to say, I need to hear from you. I'm here by accident. I want to be ready to minister to people in the body of Christ, but I don't know what to say. I'm going to have faith that the Holy Spirit will give me the words to speak when, at just that moment. And so I'm here tonight to encourage you to recognize that the Lord has given you gifts for the edification of the body of Christ, but you must open your mouth. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to be a radically different church. Help us to be abnormal. Help us to be different. Help every single Sunday school teacher in this room to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit to turn a Sunday school lesson into spiritual group therapy. Help us to open our eyes to see the number of families that are hurting in Jesus' name. Amen.